The following is a Relevant Radio program and is protected under U.S. copyright laws. This program is made possible through the contributions of listeners like you. Support Relevant Radio by clicking on the donate icon at www.relevantradio.com.
It's another new work week. Just think of all the opportunities for holiness. Good morning, I'm Paul Sadek. This is Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It's Monday, June 13th, 2022. Monday of the 11th week in Ordinary Time. In the Missal, it's liturgical year C, cycle 2. Monday is a day to pray the joyful mysteries of the Rosary. And today is the memorial of St. Anthony of Padua, priest and doctor of the Church. Born in 1195, he gave up a future of wealth and power, entered the Franciscan order, and set out to preach to the Moors, but an illness prevented that. The call of God came again at an ordination where no one was prepared to speak. Anthony hesitantly accepted the task. His sermon was astounding to those who expected an unprepared speech and didn't know about the Spirit's power to give people words. Anthony became the first friar to teach theology to the other friars. Soon he was called from that post to preach to the Albigensians in France. In the spring of 1231, Anthony withdrew to a friary where he had a sort of treehouse built as a hermitage. On June 13, 1231, he became ill and asked to be taken back to Padua, where he died after receiving the last sacraments. Saint Anthony of Padua, pray for us. And let's offer this day to the Lord. My Lord and Father, inspire my thoughts, words, and actions, and accompany them with your aid so that I may undertake all my activities according to your will and out of love for you. I ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. And with Pope Francis, we pray for Christian families around the world. May they embody and experience unconditional love and advance in holiness in their daily lives. 10 Minutes with Jesus is a guided meditation on the gospel of the day prepared by a Catholic priest. Here's today's 10 Minutes with Jesus.
My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask your pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. One of the toughest characteristics to pin down and to correct in someone can be passive aggression. And whether it's in someone else or whether it's something that we often can fall into ourselves, where somebody is actually being aggressive, but they're doing it in a very passive way. It's not what they're saying. A lot of times it's how they're saying it, or it's not what they do, but it's what they don't do. And I worry that the gospel passage that we hear today can be sometimes a motivation for this when it's wrongly understood. Jesus said to his disciples, "You've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, offer no resistance to the one who is evil. And when someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn the other one to him as well. And if anyone wants to go to law with you over your tunic, hand him your cloak as well. And should anyone press you into service for 1 mile, go with him for 2 miles. And what our Lord is teaching in the Sermon on the Mount is not passive aggression. However, unfortunately, a lot of people can take it that way, that I'm going to follow the gospel, I'm going to follow the Sermon on the Mount, and so I'm going to be aggressive, but in a very passive way, that if somebody wrongs me, I'm going to retaliate, but I'm going to do it through being passive, through having an attitude toward them, through doing what they say, but doing it with a harumph, and or even saying things, but with that tone. That's something parents know very well. When it's not what you say, it's how you say it. And so sometimes children can say something, and the tone that they use, you know, it's not, they're not being respectful when they do that. Or the particular part of the United States in which I live, sarcasm is like a second language But that sarcasm is not good. It's not a building. Sometimes in jest, if everyone knows that it's a joke, but it could be very could tear people down through what's said that maybe you just can't pinpoint it, but it's that passive aggression. And Jesus, you don't teach us to be passive aggressive. And if your people, your Christians named after you, are exhibiting this behavior, that is a total distortion of what you teach. Because in the Sermon on the Mount, you're teaching us and all of us. The Sermon on the Mount is meant for every Christian. It's an instruction for every follower of Jesus Christ, not just a select few, but for all of us. And you teach us, Jesus, how to not retaliate. Not how to retaliate but passively, but how to actually not retaliate. How to not respond in anger. How to not have, I'm just going to select a different type weapon with which to hurt you. No, you teach us that we're not to retaliate. The law, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, actually comes from the book of Deuteronomy. And it's meant to be that if someone punches you in the eye, you only punch them in the eye, right? You don't punch them in the nose. You don't break their nose. Right? Or if they only knock out one tooth, then you can only knock out one of their teeth. And so it's meant to be a law against an over retaliation, that you don't have a punishment that doesn't meet the crime. But Jesus, you teach us not to do that at all, that we're not supposed to retaliate against those who do evil and who at times wrong us, that we're not to get back at them, definitely not by punching them in the eye or nose or tooth, but also just not to have this passive-aggressive retaliation, that we just retaliate, but we do it in a different way. No. Jesus, you teach us to not retaliate at all, that we as Christians take no revenge ever. And that's what we're supposed to be as the people of God, that we do not take revenge on those who wrong us. Now, the other side of this spectrum could be that we reject doing anything about evil, and that we don't want to turn away from evil, that we're going to let it just happen because I am going to not do anything. Jesus says, just turn the other cheek. So if I see evil in the world, I'm just going to turn the other cheek. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to try to fix it. And that's the other side of the spectrum, which is not helpful. And that's not how we're supposed to act either. Rather, we do have the responsibility to correct evil when we see it, and the good practice of fraternal correction, that if somebody does something wrong or evil against us, that we want to correct them, but we never do it out of revenge. We never allow our correction to become a form of taking revenge on them. All correction, all fraternal correction, correction between Christians, is meant to be motivated by love. Because I love someone, I want them to become better. Because I love someone, they've done something wrong, and for the sake of their soul, for the sake of their happiness, I want them to know that what they did is wrong. I want them to be able to make amends for it. And therefore, when I correct them, it's motivated by that love that I have for them. It's not taking revenge. When somebody wrongs us, we don't seek revenge by correcting them and making them feel bad, because that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make them feel bad for what they did. And that is, again, that's a form of that passive aggression, to make somebody feel bad for doing something wrong. I know somebody who would be very happy when people would forget important dates in their life, like their birthday or their anniversary. They would actually delight in that because then it allowed them to receive the guilt when the person realized it after the fact. So a week or two after the fact, oh, I realize I missed your birthday. And this person's like, great, I prefer that you feel bad about it rather than that you got my birthday right. And that's not a Christian spirit. That's so ridiculous to think that we want people to feel bad. So you do something wrong And I want you to feel bad about it because that's my form of revenge. And that's not who we're supposed to be as Christians. And even when we say, oh, I forgive you, you know, but that we're really delighting that the person feels bad. That all is a distortion of the gospel message. Rather, when we offer correction, when we see that something is wrong, we do it motivated not by revenge or retaliation, but entirely by love. That we remove ourselves or our feelings maybe from the whole picture, unless it's that charity that motivates all things. And we allow a correction to occur, always motivating that charity, never revenge. And how wonderful it is to be corrected in that way, that we know that the person who's offering us some advice or some correction is doing it not to get revenge on us, but to love us, to help us get better. This is how true Christians act when something goes wrong. I have a very good friend from growing up, and it was always the case that when there was an argument between us, it would happen in three parts. The first would be there would be something, someone would do something wrong, and we'd get into an argument, we'd get into a fight. And then the second part is the bad part. That's where someone apologizes, but they don't apologize in the right way, and the fight just gets worse, right? I'm sorry that you were so foolish that you did this, but I just had to get angry at you, and it ends up causing round two. And then it's not till after that, time number three, that finally a real, true, heartfelt, charitable apology could occur. And that was from growing up, and let's hope that he and I have both learned a little bit better charity since then, because that's not how Christians are supposed to apologize. Not just, I'm sorry that you're offended, but you were wrong. Rather, always motivated by love. Our mother, Our Lady, is the mother of mercy. She, everything she did was always motivated by charity. And even when she maybe would have to make corrections, they were never retaliatory, but they were charitable and loving. So Mary, Mother of Mercy, teach us how to be merciful and loving so that we can follow the counsels of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. Never offering retaliation, but always correcting through charity and love. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations which you have communicated to me in this meditation. I ask your help in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.
There's more of 10 Minutes with Jesus at RelevantRadio.com and on the Relevant Radio app. 15 past the hour on Daybreak. It's Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. On the memorial of St. Anthony of Padua, I'm Paul Sadek. We join the whole church in prayer now. We're led by our friends at DivineOffice.org in the Invitatory Psalm and the Office of Readings.
Lord, open my lips.
And my mouth will proclaim your praise.
Come, let us worship the Lord. Fount of all wisdom, alleluia.
Come, let us worship the Lord. Fount of all wisdom, alleluia.
Come, let us sing to the Lord. And shout with joy to the rock who saves us. Let us approach him with praise and thanksgiving, and sing joyful songs to the Lord.
Come, let us worship the Lord, fount of all wisdom. Alleluia.
The Lord is God, the mighty God, the great King over all the gods. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the highest mountains as well. He made the sea, it belongs to him, the dry land too, for it was formed by his hands.
Come, let us worship the Lord, fount of all wisdom, alleluia.
Come then, let us bow down and worship, bending the knee before the Lord our Maker, For he is our God, and we are his people, the flock he shepherds.
Come, let us worship the Lord, fount of all wisdom. Alleluia.
Today, listen to the voice of the Lord. Do not grow stubborn as your fathers did in the wilderness, when at Meribah and Massah they challenged me and provoked me, although they had seen all of my works.
Come, let us worship the Lord, fount of all wisdom. Alleluia.
40 years I endured that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my anger, they shall not enter into my rest.
Come, let us worship the Lord, fount of all wisdom. Alleluia.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Come, let us worship the Lord, fount of all wisdom. Alleluia.
God will be made manifest. He will not come in silence.
Our God will be made manifest. He will not come in silence.
The God of gods, the Lord, has spoken and summoned the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion's perfect beauty, he shines.
Our God comes. He keeps silence no longer. Before him fire devours. Around him tempest rages. He calls on the heavens and the earth to witness his judgment of his people.
Summon before me my people, who made covenant with me by sacrifice. The heavens proclaim his justice, for God himself is the judge.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Amen.
Our God will be made manifest. He will not come in silence.
Offer to God the sacrifice of praise.
Offer to God the sacrifice of praise.
Listen, my people, I will speak. Israel, I will testify against you, for I am God, your God. I accuse you, lay the charge before you.
I find no fault with your sacrifices. Your offerings are always before me. I do not ask more bullocks from your farms, nor goats from among your herds.
For I own all the beasts of the forest, beasts in their thousands on my hills. I know all the birds in the sky. All that moves in the field belongs to me.
Were I hungry, I would not tell you, for I own the world and all it holds. Do you think I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats?
Pay your sacrifice of thanksgiving to God and render him your votive offerings. Call on me in the day of distress. I will free you, and you shall honor me.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Offer to God the sacrifice of praise.
I want a loving heart more than sacrifice, knowledge of my ways more than holocausts.
I want a loving heart more than sacrifice, knowledge of my ways more than holocausts.
But God says to the wicked, but how can you recite my commandments and take my covenant on your lips, you who despise my law and throw my words to the winds?
You who see a thief and go with him, who throw in your lot with adulterers, who unbridle your mouth for evil, and whose tongue is plotting crime.
You who sit and malign your brother and slander your own mother's son, you do this, and should I keep silence? Do you think that I am like you?
Mark this, you who never think of God, lest I seize you and you cannot escape. A sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me, and I will show God's salvation to the upright. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Amen.
Let us pray. Father, accept us as a sacrifice of praise, so that we may go through life unburdened by sin, walking in the way of salvation, and always giving thanks to you.
I want a loving heart more than sacrifice, knowledge of my ways more than holocausts.
You will hear the word from my mouth.
You will tell others what I have said.
From the Book of Judges. After Ehud's death, however, the Israelites again offended the Lord. So the Lord allowed them to fall into the power of the Canaanite king, Jabin, who reigned in Hazor. The general of his army was Sisera, who dwelt in Harosheth HaGoyim. But the Israelites cried out to the Lord, for with his 900 iron chariots he sorely oppressed the Israelites for 20 years. At this time, the prophetess Deborah, wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel. She used to sit under Deborah's palm tree, situated between Ramah and Bethel in the mountain region of Ephraim, and there the Israelites came up to her for judgment. She sent and summoned Barak, son of Abinoam, from Kadesh of Naphtali. "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, commands," she said to him. "Go, march on Mount Tabor, and take with you 10,000 Naphtalites and Zebulunites. I will lead Sisera, the general of Jabin's army, out to you at the Wadi Kishon, together with his chariots and troops, and will deliver them into your power." But Barak answered her, "If you come with me, I will go. If you do not come with me, I will not go." "I will certainly go with you," she replied, "but you shall not gain the glory in the expedition on which you are setting out, for the Lord will have Sisera fall into the power of a woman." So Deborah joined Barak and journeyed with him to Kadesh. Barak summoned Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh, and 10,000 men followed him. Deborah also went up with him. Now the Kenite Heber had detached himself from his own people, the descendants of Hobab, Moses' brother-in-law, and had pitched his tent by the terebinth of Zananim, which was near Kadesh. It was reported to Sisera that Barak, son of Abinoam, had gone up to Mount Tabor. So Sisera assembled from Harosheth Hagoyim at the Wadi Kishon all 900 of his iron chariots and all his forces. Deborah then said to Barak, "Be off, for this is the day on which the Lord has delivered Sisera into your power. The Lord marches before you." So Barak went down Mount Tabor, followed by his 10,000 men. And the Lord put Sisera and all his chariots and all his forces to rout before Barak. Sisera himself dismounted from his chariot and fled on foot. Barak, however, pursued the chariots and the army as far as Harosheth Hagoyim. The entire army of Sisera fell beneath the sword, not even one man surviving. Sisera, in the meantime, had fled on foot to the tent of Jael, wife of the Kenite Heber, since Jabin, king of Hazor, and the family of the Kenite Heber were at peace with one another. Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, "Come in, my lord, come in with me. Do not be afraid." So he went into her tent, and she covered him with a rug. He said to her, "Please give me a little water to drink. I am thirsty." But she opened a jug of milk for him to drink, and then covered him over. "Stand at the entrance of the tent," he said to her. "If anyone comes and asks, 'Is there someone here?' say no." Instead, Jael, wife of Heber, got a tent peg and took a mallet in her hand. While Sisera was sound asleep, she stealthily approached him and drove the peg through his temple down into the ground, so that he perished in death. Then when Barak came in pursuit of Sisera, Jael went out to meet him and said to him, "Come, I will show you the man you seek." So he went in with her, and there lay Sisera dead, with the tent peg through his temple. Thus on that day God humbled the Canaanite king Jabin before the Israelites. Their power weighed ever heavier upon him, till at length they destroyed the Canaanite king Jabin.
To shame the strong, God chose the weak, so that no one might boast in his presence.
For his power is made perfect in weakness.
God chose those who were nothing at all to humble those who were everything.
For his power is made perfect in weakness.
A reading from a sermon by St. Anthony of Padua, priest. The man who is filled with the Holy Spirit speaks in different languages. These different languages are different ways of witnessing to Christ, such as humility, poverty, patience, and obedience. We speak in those languages when we reveal in ourselves these virtues to others. Actions speak louder than words. Let your words teach and your actions speak. We are full of words, but empty of actions, and therefore are cursed by the Lord, since he himself cursed the fig tree when he found no fruit, but only leaves. Gregory says, a law is laid upon the preacher to practice what he preaches. It is useless for a man to flaunt his knowledge of the law if he undermines its teachings by his actions. But the apostles spoke as the Spirit gave them the gift of speech. Happy the man whose words issue from the Holy Spirit and not from himself. For some men speak as their own character dictates, but steal the words of others and present them as their own, and claim the credit for them. The Lord refers to such men and others like them in Jeremiah. So then, I have a quarrel with the prophets that steal my words from each other. I have a quarrel with the prophets, says the Lord, who have only to move their tongues to utter oracles. I have a quarrel with the prophets who make prophecies out of lying dreams, who recount them and lead my people astray with their lies and their pretensions. I certainly never sent them or commissioned them, and they serve no good purpose for this people, says the Lord. We should speak, then, as the Holy Spirit gives us the gift of speech. Our humble and sincere request to the Spirit for ourselves should be that we may bring the day of Pentecost to fulfillment, insofar as He infuses us with His grace, by using our bodily senses in a perfect manner, and by keeping the commandments. Likewise, we shall request that we may be filled with a keen sense of sorrow and with fiery tongues for confessing the faith, so that our deserved reward may be to stand in the blazing splendor of the saints and to look upon the triune of God. The just man shall blossom like the lily.
He shall flourish forever in the courts of our God.
He will be praised by all of God's chosen ones.
He shall flourish forever in the courts of our God.
Let us pray. Almighty ever-living God, who gave St. Anthony of Padua to your people as an outstanding preacher and an intercessor in their need, grant that with his assistance, as we follow the teachings of the Christian life, we may know your help in every trial. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen.
21 minutes before the hour, and we'll check out today's gospel in just a few minutes, along with In Conversation with God and Morning Prayer on Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. On the memorial of St. Anthony of Padua, I'm Paul Sadek, and this is Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. In today's Gospel from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, the Lord continues to teach that we have to do better than the minimum that's required. In other words, do more good than you have to. Today's Gospel is from the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew.
You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist one who is evil. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your coat, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to him who begs from you, and do not refuse him who would borrow from you.
This selection from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, courtesy of Falcon Picture Group, daily and Sunday Mass readings are on the Relevant Radio app. You know, one of the greatest gifts that we have in this lifetime is sanctifying grace. Today's reading from In Conversation with God by Father Francisco Fernandez Carvajal is from Volume 3, Ordinary Time. At the beginning, after the first creation, man was new, perfect, as he came fresh from the hand of God. But sin aged him and created havoc in him. And so God made a new creation, sanctifying grace. A limited participation in the divine nature makes man, without ceasing to be a creature, similar to God and share really and intimately in the divine life. This sanctifying grace is an interior reality producing a kind of splendor and light which cleanses our souls from all stains and makes them most beautiful and brilliant. This grace is what unites our soul with God in the closest bond of love. How then ought we to protect it, convinced that it is the greatest good we have? Sacred Scripture compares it to a garment God places on the hearts of the faithful. A seed which sends down its roots into the interior of man, a fountain of waters springing up without ceasing unto eternal life. Sanctifying grace is not a passing transitory gift like those impulses and inspirations which we call actual graces to help us carry out or avoid some particular action. It is a permanent principle of supernatural life, a stable disposition founded in the very essence of the soul. Even though it can be lost through mortal sin, for the reason that it produces a stable and permanent mode of being, it is called also habitual grace. Grace does not violate the natural order, but presupposes it, elevates and perfects it, and both the natural and the supernatural orders help each other, since both proceed from God. And so the Christian, far from renouncing the mundane duties of his earthly life, work, family, and so forth, develops, perfects, and coordinates them with the supernatural life to the point of ennobling natural life itself. With this privilege and the dignity it confers, we have to live and behave in conformity in all our actions. We should not forget at any moment of the day these gifts we have been favored with. Our life will be completely different in the midst of our daily duties if we keep in mind the honor done to us by our Father God. An honor by which, through grace, we are able to call ourselves His children and truly be so in effect. In Conversation with God by Francis Fernandez is published by Scepter Publishers. You'll find it at your local Catholic bookstore. 14 minutes before the hour, and we continue praying with the whole church. We're led by our friends at DivineOffice.org in morning prayer.
God, come to my assistance.
Lord, make haste to help me.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Alleluia.
Blessed are they who dwell in your house, O Lord.
Blessed are they who dwell in your house, O Lord.
How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord God of hosts.
My soul is yearning for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my soul ring out their joy to God, the living God.
The sparrow herself finds a home, and the swallow a nest for her brood. She lays her young by your altars, Lord of hosts, my King and my God.
They are happy who dwell in your house, forever singing your praise. They are happy whose strength is in you, in whose hearts are the roads to Zion.
As they go through the bitter valley, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rain covers it with blessings. They walk with ever-growing strength. They will see the God of gods in Zion.
O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Turn your eyes, O God, our shield. Look on the face of your anointed.
One day within your courts, is better than 1,000 elsewhere. The threshold of the house of God I prefer to the dwellings of the wicked.
For the Lord God is a rampart, a shield. He will give us his favor and glory. The Lord will not refuse any good to those who walk without blame.
Lord God of hosts, happy the man who trusts in you.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Bless your people, Lord. You have given us the law, that we may walk from strength to strength and raise our minds to you from this valley of tears. May we receive the gifts you have gained for us.
Blessed are they who dwell in your house, O Lord.
Come, let us climb the mountain of the Lord.
Come, let us climb the mountain of the Lord.
In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest mountain and raised above the hills.
All nations shall stream toward it. Many peoples shall come and say, Come, let us climb the Lord's mountain to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may instruct us in his ways and we may walk in his paths.
For from Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem.
He shall judge between the nations and impose terms on many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. One nation shall not raise the sword against another, nor shall they train for war again.
O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Amen.
Come, let us climb the mountain of the Lord. Sing to the Lord and bless his name.
Sing to the Lord and bless his name.
Oh, sing a new song to the Lord. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Oh, sing to the Lord, bless his name.
Proclaim his help day by day. Tell among the nations his glory and his wonders among all the peoples.
The Lord is great and worthy of praise, to be feared above all gods. The gods of the heathens are not.
It was the Lord who made the heavens. His are majesty and state and power and splendor in his holy place.
Give the Lord, you families of people. Give the Lord glory and power. Give the Lord the glory of his name.
Bring an offering and enter his courts. Worship the Lord in his temple. O earth, tremble before him.
Proclaim to the nations, God is king. The world he made firm in its place, he will judge the peoples in fairness.
Let the heavens rejoice and the earth be glad. Let the sea and all within it thunder praise. Let the land and all it bears rejoice. All the trees of the wood shout for joy at the presence of the Lord. For he comes. He comes to rule the earth. With justice he will rule the world. He will judge the peoples with his truth.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Amen.
Lord, you have renewed the face of the earth. Your church throughout the world sings you a new song, announcing your wonders to all. Through a virgin, you have brought forth a new birth in our world. Through your miracles, a new power. Through your suffering, a new patience. In your resurrection, a new hope. And in your ascension, new majesty.
Sing to the Lord and bless his name.
A reading from the Book of Wisdom. Simply I learn about wisdom, and ungrudgingly do I share. Her riches I do not hide away. For to men she is an unfailing treasure. Those who gain this treasure win the friendship of God, to whom the gifts they have from discipline commend them.
Let the peoples proclaim the wisdom of the saints.
Let the peoples proclaim the wisdom of the saints.
With joyful praise let the church tell forth
the wisdom of the saints.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Let the peoples proclaim the wisdom of the saints.
Those who are learned will be as radiant as the sky in all its beauty. Those who instruct the people in goodness will shine like the stars for all eternity.
Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David. Through his holy prophets, he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us. He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight, all the days of our life. You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Those who are learned will be as radiant as the sky in all its beauty. Those who instruct the people in goodness will shine like the stars for all eternity.
Christ is the good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep. Let us praise and thank him as we pray.
Nourish your people, Lord.
Christ, you decided to show your merciful love through your holy shepherds.
Let your mercy always reach us through them.
Nourish your people, Lord.
Through your vicars, you continue to perform the ministry of shepherd of souls.
Direct us always through our leaders.
Nourish your people, Lord.
Through your holy ones, the leaders of your people, you served as physician of our bodies and our spirits.
Continue to fulfill your ministry of life and holiness in us.
Nourish your people, Lord.
You taught your flock through the prudence and love of your saints.
Grant us continual growth in holiness under the direction of our pastors.
Nourish your people, Lord.
Let us again offer our praise to God and pray in the words of Christ.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Let us pray. Almighty ever-living God, who gave St. Anthony of Padua to your people as an outstanding preacher and an intercessor in their need, Grant that with his assistance, as we follow the teachings of the Christian life, we may know your help in every trial. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen.
May the Lord bless us, protect us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Like I said, all kinds of opportunities for holiness await you this week. Morning Air is coming up in just a few minutes with John and Glenn. Patrick Madrid a bit later on this morning. I'm Paul Sadek. Let's do this again tomorrow morning, 4 a.m. Central, or on the relevant radio app. You go out and make this a great day and live in the light of the Lord.
Audio from the Liturgy of the Hours, courtesy of DivineOffice.org. Readings from In Conversation with God, courtesy of Scepter Publishers. Selections from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, courtesy of Falcon Picture Group. 10 minutes with Jesus is used with permission. Daybreak is available on relevantradio.com and on the Relevant Radio app. Daybreak is a production of Relevant Radio.